Turn in your Bible this morning with me to Isaiah chapter 65. And you're going to think, wow, what are we doing in Isaiah, Old Testament? But the heading of this set of verses ties in. Let's try that. Is that better? All right, very good. Thanks, Al, for billing me out. He's always fixing stuff. So what I want to try to correlate with you is, a lot of times we wonder, does the Old Testament have any use for us today? And by all means, it does, because the two go together. And here I'm going to tie Isaiah 65 with Revelation 21. Now, this is prophecy here. Isaiah 65, but this is the word of God to us today, and just listen to what's going on here, as this describes heaven and what will go on in the last days as well. So follow along with me as I read to you this morning. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will it be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And then Revelation 21. And we're going to read the entire chapter. So bear with me and listen as we go through this. This one is also entitled The New Heaven and a New Earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city's walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather here this morning reading a very powerful word this morning about heaven. Lord, in the book of Isaiah and the book of Revelation, we pray that you bring those words to life through this message today. I pray for those that have gathered here in your name that they may hear your word. May you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive that word today. Lord, may you strengthen us. May we grow from it. May we be inspired by it. Lord, may these words be yours and never my own. And I pray that you fill me with that same spirit as I bring this message to your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. I have a simple, straightforward question for you this morning. How many of you like dessert? I do. Now, I didn't put pie up there because I probably figured you are probably getting sick of pie. Maybe. At least I'm starting to, but we've had a lot of pie at our house the last few weeks. But I want you to think of heaven as the dessert of life. And not very many churches or preachers, you hear stories about what heaven will be like one day. And I don't know why people are scared to preach on this, but I like to, and I want you to hear about the goodness and the grace of God in heaven. Because someday that's where we get to live for eternity. I mean, you've been through the wrath of God for several weeks now. The bulls, all those types of things, the doom and gloom, you've heard that. This morning, you get the goodness of God, the grace of God, the reward that waits you when you pass from this earth. And are you ready to go to heaven? Maybe not today, but how many of you want to go to heaven today or maybe in the future when God calls you home? You should all be raising your hands going like this. I'm ready, right? Maybe today I'll go. See, why do we live like that? God says, have joy. In the midst of the world that you and I live in today, you need to have joy. Even in the midst of this COVID, God says, be filled with joy. You are my people. So let me ask you another set of questions to kick this off this morning. What will the new heaven and new earth be like? What will it be like to live in the presence of God, the triune God, by the way, Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit forever? That's what we're going to learn about today. And you think, well, how do we know that? Because Revelation 21 and Isaiah 65, they give us light into that. And we have other scriptures that are bringing to that as well this morning. All the bad, the negative things of this world, they're going to be conquered. They're going to be destroyed in the end. All the pollution, all the ungodliness, the evil, all the suffering, the pain, even death will be gone. You probably can't even imagine that. Neither can I. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. You know, the Bible begins in the Garden of Eden, and it ends in a new city, Jerusalem. And we're going to learn about that new city this morning. All things will be made new. And so let's dig into that. And if you have your Bibles open with me, you can follow along this morning. But begin at verse 1. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." Now, we talked about that in the past, about we're not in the eternal heaven or the eternal hell. Those are kind of two places that are temporary right now. Paradise with Jesus, those that have gone on before us, and so on. But the Bible says that the old earth will be cleansed by fire when that day comes. 2 Peter 3, verse 7, on the bottom of the screen. It's also on your outline. I think I have it this morning. It says, "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire." That God will send fire in the end. It won't be a flood. But fire will cleanse the earth of the evilness that is left behind. Now, here's something I want you to think about. There is theological debate, and there's not a right or wrong here, but I want you to think about this and maybe study this as you go through life and as you learn. Some theologians believe that God will create an entirely new earth and New Jerusalem will come to that earth. Others believe that this earth will be renewed, that God will cleanse it with fire and the landscape won't change a lot, but it'll be restored with great beauty as it was in the beginning. So there's some debate there. So you need to decide on your own where you think you stand. I'm going to tell you where I stand as a pastor and what I've read and what I know. I believe that God will renew this earth. That's what I believe. From what Scripture tells me and what He says, that this earth that you and I stand on today will be the same earth that heaven will be a part of. God will renew this earth with fire. And newness will come right where we are today. But I want you to work that out for yourself. The Bible does not say specifically if we will recognize some of the old features of our current earth. It doesn't say that, but there's some things that might point to that, but we'll get into that in just a little bit down the road. But it does say that the old order of things will be gone, right? Now, we've been talking a lot about the symbol of Babylon, meaning the evilness of the world that's in the book of Revelation. Remember, this is a book of symbols. Babylon is the terrible things of earth, death, mourning, decay, pain, Satan, sinful ways, all gone in this new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21, verse 4 speaks to this. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, our mourning, our crying, our pain, for the old order of things has passed away." But here's what you need to understand. A lot of people think that the moment that you leave earth, you go to be with Jesus, that Revelation 21 verse 4 plays out. I'm not quite sure of that. Because it also talks about those that are under the altar in heaven are crying out to God for God to do something, and that final judgment hasn't come yet. And so I don't think the tears of the people either here on earth or in heaven are wiped away until God creates the new heaven and new earth. Now, you might beg to differ with me, and that's okay. But that's my belief there. That is still to come, when God recreates the earth. And it will be replaced with a new order of righteousness and shalom. Let me talk about that new order just a little bit with you this morning. Maybe the features of the present earth, very possibly, think about this for a moment, this new earth with me, animals. Some of you ask, will there be animals in heaven? And I believe that there will be. It speaks of horses quite often and other things in the Bible. What about trees, lakes, cities, music, art, and the like will likely remain in the new creation. There's going to be things to do there. There's this misconception of what heaven would be like. It's this airy, floaty thing up in the sky that our theologies have. And that's so untrue and so unbiblical. And you're going to learn something new maybe this morning. This new earth and new heaven is going to be right here where we stand. Think about the mountains, the lakes, the rolling hills, the streams and the rivers renewed. Some of these we might recognize on the new earth if you're a believer in Christ. Such as, maybe the Grand Canyon will remain. Possibly could happen. Niagara Falls might remain. I don't know for sure, but you might get to the new heaven, new earth someday, and you might think back, wow, look at that. I remember that when I lived life. That could be possible. Now, I can't say that 100%, but the goodness that you experience on this earth will go with you to heaven. And His creation is part of that. You get to look forward to those things down the road. And so our idea of heaven being up there needs to come down to earth in Revelation 21. It needs to be down here. That's where you need to start thinking. You and I need to remember that this earth started in a beautiful garden with God present with Adam and Eve, and it will return to that place one day. And so let's talk about the city. Revelation 21, verse 9 and 10. And remember now, this is there's symbolism here. One of the seven angels, which I find quite unique, that had the seven bowls of plagues, said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So let's talk about the scripture, 12 gates, three on every side, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel inscribed on them, 12 foundations with the 12 apostles' names on them, great high walls around the city. We get all the symbolism, but what does this all mean, right? And what that means is that this heaven is not only for the Old Testament people, but also for the New Testament people. And you and I need to realize that when Jesus went to the cross, you might wonder, well, how did Abraham's sins get forgiven? How did Moses' sins get forgiven? Because Jesus wasn't there yet. And here's the point, that when Jesus is on the cross, His glory, His sacrifice, reached back in the Old Testament and forgave them their sins, and it reaches forward to our life and forgives our sins. All welcome into a place called heaven one day. That's the glory of God on the cross through Jesus Christ. The cross reaches forward and it reaches backwards into history. Notice that there are gates on every side, meaning that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome. Doesn't matter your ethnicity, doesn't matter your skin color, doesn't matter where you live in this world. What that signifies is that all are welcome into this holy city through Jesus Christ. That's what that signifies. The walls are great, meaning that it is a safe place. It is protected. There will be no evil there anymore. It will not exist. Verse 15 through 21 speaks of the angel measuring the city. If you were to physically lay this out, the city is enormous. Let me just share a few figures with you. And then I'll wrap up at the end of what this actually means. Its size is beyond anything you and I could ever imagine or dream of. It is that large. So if we took this literally, it would be a cube, it would be square, and it would measure something like this. 12,000 stadia in the Bible is roughly equal to 1,500 miles, is what that says. So it would measure, just the city would measure 1,500 miles long by 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. That's what this measurement looks like. It would be 2,250,000 square miles. Almost 4 billion cubic miles in size. But what this measurement really points to is a city of completeness and perfection. That's what it points to. So don't get hung up on its physical size. I've had some people say, well, is that going to be big enough to hold everyone? I don't think we have to worry about that. That's God's problem, right? He'll take care of that. And so our job is to get there. So we have an idea that this earth will be renewed and the new Jerusalem will come to earth. But let me get on my slides here. The real question is what will the new heaven and earth be like? Right? How many of you like to know those answers? We got the measurements. We know where it's going to be. We know what's kind of going to happen there. But what's going to go on there? What will be going on in this new place? And so we're going to look back to see the future. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 2, specifically verse 15. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. God instructs Adam and Eve to take care of the garden. He says, work it. Right? The original earth was created and God said, work it. So this is, we talk about culture today and how it influences things and things we're involved in. The first culture given to man by God is called what? And it's on the bottom of your screen. Agriculture. I've always preached to you that someday I'm going to farm in heaven. And this is why I think there'll be things to do in heaven. So you farmers out there that are dyed in the wool that can't get away from the farm, well, guess what? I think there's going to be a lot to do in that new heaven, in that new earth. There's going to be business and industry. There's going to be cities. There's going to be culture, and it's going to be without sin perfect. There'd be crops to grow. There'd be animals and livestock and all those types of things on the new earth. There probably won't be a need for a preacher. But I'll find something else to do. There probably won't be a need for a doctor or a nurse. But they'll find something else to do. But that's the point. That's the goodness I want to share with you this morning. Think about those negative cultures that our world has. Death. That's a culture, right? We live in a culture of death. Every one of us is going to die at some point unless Jesus returns. We live in a culture of pain. We know those within our own community and congregation that have cancer and COVID and other issues and diabetes and they're in the hospital. Think about those cultures. Cultures of financial loss, all gone. And Isaiah 65 verse 21 said, they will build houses. So if you're a carpenter, your job is safe. We've got any construction people in here, right? So we will build houses and we will plant vineyards and we will eat from them. Mean that we will create our own bounty and we'll share life. Oh yeah, by the way, notice you guys didn't catch that. We will eat from them. How do you like to eat? Yeah, we like to eat and enjoy life, right? Yeah. See, the cultures will be there. The good things that God created will be there. They'll eat their fruit. It will all be made right here, renewed one day. So let's tie up a couple other loose ends I want you to grab from this chapter here this morning. Verse 22 says that there was no temple, right? We think of the temple, it's the church. It says that I did not see a temple in the city or a church in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. It's the church. See, there will be no church building in heaven. You think, well, how are we going to sing praise to God? And because you're going to live life and your life's going to praise God. That's how it's going to go. You worship today, right? 7 days a week, whether you realize it or not. Everything you do is under the glory of God. It's going to be that way in heaven. The things that you're a part of in the new world will bring glory to God. The entire city becomes the temple. The entire earth becomes the temple of the church that you and I are a part of. Verse 23 says that there's no need for a sun or a moon. Now, sometimes we get a little hung up on that. Well, is it going to be dark there? What do you mean that God's going to be the light? And I don't understand that. And so let me just clarify that with you this morning. More than likely, there will be a sun and a moon on the earth. There will be days, because that's how God created in Genesis. What he's saying is that the darkness will be gone. The evil in the world will be gone. Because Jesus is the light, the goodness that we experience. So more than likely, there will be a sun and a moon on the new heaven and the new earth. So this speaks figuratively to that this morning. The most exciting benefit about this new place is that God will be present with his people forever. And I don't know how to explain that to you today, to be honest with you, of what it will be like to be in the fullness of God. I don't have words to tell you of what that will be like. But I just know that it will be an awe as we stand before him one day and we're given this reward. But for now, you and I, we experience heaven as a biblical term for God's dwelling place. And maybe even a place that we talk about that our loved ones go to who that are in the Lord. They go to be with God. We think of that as heaven today. And that's totally fine. It's paradise. It's good to think those things. But I want to conclude with a story that's about a well-known preacher, George W. Truett. Any of you ever heard of Pastor Truett before? Maybe not, but let me share the story with you about this well-known preacher. One day he was invited to a dinner at the home of a very wealthy man in Texas. And after their meal, this man led him out onto a hill by his property, and he stood there and he said to this, George, you know, when I 25 years ago, I didn't have anything. Didn't have nothing. And He said to George, look across the land as far as you can see. And across, he could see for miles and miles in this big ranch in Texas. And he could see cattle and the green grass. And there are oil wells punched in the surface of the earth all over the place. As far as he could see, and this man said, you know, this is all mine now. And the man stopped there and he waited for George to respond to some kind of accolades of how good he was and how blessed he was. And George put his hand on this guy's shoulder and he said, but how much real estate do you have up there? And the guy stopped. And he said, I've never thought about that. You see, all the things on this earth really don't make any sense or don't really matter in the end. What matters is, how much real estate do you have in the new heaven? That's all that matters. That's my question for you this morning as you leave here. It's my challenge to you. How much real estate do you have up there? In fact, I even got a little slide I made. There you go. Of an arrow for you. That's where it hits home. It doesn't matter what you have on this side of earth. God's blessed you greatly, maybe with good health and a job and maybe security of the country we live in. But what really matters in the end and we're called home is how much real estate do we have in Jesus Christ? That's what I want to impress upon you as a preacher today. Because I want you all to be in this new heaven, in this new earth, sharing the glory and the riches of Jesus Christ. And you get there only one way. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So remember that. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.